today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
This is Rob Spiewak with the Mike O'Mara Show.
You're with the Mike O'Mara Show.
Exactly.
And, what is this? A podcast?
It's a podcast. You get it on the computer. It's on the radio. It's the whole deal.
Hold on a second. Do you know Steve Bridges?
Oh, boy. We do. Do you know Steve Bridges?
Oh, wonderful man. Wonderful, wonderful man.
Oh, we're not doing it completely the way maybe you should, and everything's got a little system that I might not be mastering. I do see that I am in ketosis when I do it. But it's not.
Are you using the stick?
I use the stick, the pee stick, the pee stick.
And you're only allowed to use those once, right?
Yeah. You know what the worst thing about those?
The taste.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Mike O'Mara Show. I know we teased it yesterday that Oscar is not here today. Somehow we shall muddle through, but we actually have someone that is here today that is a pretty good get, and we're very excited to talk to him because he's on the top of every newspaper's headline today. Ladies and gentlemen, calling in, Democratic candidate and mayor, Michael Bloomberg. Are you there, Mayor Bloomberg?
Hello.
Can you hear me, Mayor?
Yeah. Hello, is this on? I'm making a lot of calls. Is this one of the podcasts?
Yes, this is your 9:15, sir.
Yeah, my handlers said that I should do the podcast as well because it's what the young people are listening to these days.
But, is this part of your rollout, Mary? I know you had your big debut last night on the debate.
Yeah, I did. Prior to that, we'd done a rather saturated media buy of major markets in states for Super Tuesday. That's what we did. Yes,
you're spending a lot of money on those ads, the television ads. There's a great saturation. Everyone sees your face.
Well, it should be pointed out, and who am I speaking
with? Oh, I'm sorry. This is the Mike O'Mara Show, and I'm the, I guess, chief political correspondent, Rob Spiewak.
Yeah. All right.
Do you have to be so dismissive?
I don't think I'm dismissive at all. I'm very interested in talking with you.
So what's the name of the show, and what's my name? If you're so invested, what's the name of this show? I just told you.
Hardball.
That's exactly right. Okay. So you had
the McLaughlin Report?
That's not even a show.
This week with David Brinkley.
That's not been on the air for a million years.
Well, I say to myself.
Do you follow current events, Mayor?
Why don't we just do first names? Is it possible we could just do you have a first name?
Yeah. My name is Rob.
Hello, Rob. I'm Michael.
Hi, Mike.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Well, then we start all over again.
Very good. Let me reintroduce you. Democratic candidate, and he just rolled out his campaign with a huge appearance on the debate last night. Michael Bloomberg, let me just start this way, Mayor.
May I say something before you continue?
Yeah, of course.
I would urge all of your listeners to go to michaelbloomberg.com, and this is the most important thing. They don't need to give any money.
Why don't they have to do that?
I'm financing my own campaign, so there's no need for them to donate anything to anybody. I just want them to read about my policy papers, and that's all.
Your policy? Your policy what?
My policy papers.
Papers?
The policies. The ideas.
You have thoughts.
And the most important thing, to beat Donald Trump.
Right.
That's what we're all pulling together for, and that's what I am very, very optimistic that we are going to, even with last night, and I think we can all agree, last night, as far as in the Bloomberg camp, was a disaster.
Yeah, you're not getting high marks.
an unmitigated disaster.
Words
and
are coming across like smarmy, disinterested.
I believe in accountability.
Insincere.
I ran my city with accountability, so I have no one to blame for last night other than my 2,200 staffers. They will do better. They will do better.
Everybody has to do their job.
That's right. Now, look, I can stand up there all day long, but I'm not a magician. And if they're not going to do their due diligence and their hard work, it's going to result in what we had last night. I will be honest with you.
Yes, please.
I don't expect to see that happen again. You won't see a performance like that again.
One and done?
It won't be repeated. I have a new strategy that I think is going to be ironclad, where you won't have to worry about seeing a performance like that again.
What is the new strategy?
I'm not going to do them anymore.
Okay, just no show. You were doing so well until you did the debate. Yeah, and then he didn't.
Yes. You'll see me on television, but I won't be up there with those sharks. I won't have myself picked at like that young blonde lady in Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds in the Phone Booth.
Yeah, Tippi Hedren, right.
I won't have those nasty, especially that nasty woman with the thrift shop jacket sitting next to me, Senator Warren, who was...
What is your hot take on Senator Warren, Elizabeth Warren?
Well, there is no hot take, if you get my drift.
I feel you, yeah.
If you worked for Michael Bloomberg in the 80s, I have jokes for you about Elizabeth Warren.
You should put those on the website.
Oh, wow, she's something else. I could do an hour on her.
Let's
but
not.
I don't want to do it.
No,
here,
no, no.
You know, me
because
too
I need, need me too and whatever.
Whatever.
Oh, yeah, okay. You know, what about Bernie Sanders?
He's upset about something. I said that to somebody, one of my staffers. I don't know what his name is. He's my chief campaign strategist.
You don't know his name.
No, I have many employees.
I understand.
I have so many of them, and I said the other day, I said, now that lady needs something, and I'm not talking about a milkshake, okay?
Stop it. You right, stop so, it, Mary. Well, I mean, you're doing more harm than good.
I've been accused of being sexist. What were you saying?
I'm saying, what about Bernie Sanders? You got to deal with him last night. How'd that go?
For the love of Pete, that hair. I mean, really, I understand you're an old man, but can't you go to a certified barber? We have barbers all over New York City, and all you have to do is roll in there. Well, that's the deal with the hair, Bernie. I mean, it's wispy, it's over his ears, it doesn't look becoming. You know, he's on the political stage. You don't have to have hair like that. You can yell all day long with your communism, but, you know, if you don't have hair that looks like a president, you're in trouble. Well, look how important hair was to the opposition, Donald Trump.
That's right.
It might be fake hair, but it's good hair. It's good
you
hair,
like it?
You know? Yeah, and I use a product that, before it went out of business, I hoarded it, and I used Vitalis.
Oh, Vitalis, they still have that?
I use Vitalis.
That's great. Yes. Now, you just said, for the love of Pete, what about Pete Buttigieg?
Oh, he's a very nice young man, very well educated.
Right.
He has interesting things to say. You know, he fancies himself smart, but he certainly wasn't the smartest one up on that stage.
Who was the smartest?
Oh, please. Are you going to insult me?
No.
Are you going to insult
me? No, because I thought Amy Klobuchar came off as very smart last night. Your take?
I think she's got anger issues. I think she's obviously got anger issues, and I don't think she's... They talk about her mom comments, that she makes a little mom jokes. Well, you know,
sure.
Go back to wherever you came, in Minnetonka or whatever state she's from, and have her make a little mom jokes. I think my estimation of Senator Klobuchar is that she would be a perfectly adequate carpool driver. She would be wonderful.
Wow!
Well, I'm sorry. I'm these thoughts popped into my head after the debate,
and as you said,
I will not fail like I did before. I won't.
As you said, she can go back to Minnetonka.
Yeah, Minnetonka, whatever those states.
All right,
look, if anyone knows who knows me, there's New York and there's Los Angeles and then there's China. That's it. Otherwise, that's why I get up in the morning, and everyone else is incidental. And can we speak honestly?
Of course. Yeah, I'd like that.
I thought being on that stage was just a little bit beneath me. it was a little bit beneath me. And of course, I
being in the presidential debate is beneath you.
Well, beneath me with those clowns. I mean, you know, they didn't do it. They didn't do it for me.
What about Joe Biden? No greater statesman on that stage than Joe Biden.
My name is Biden. Doddering, my name is Biden. I mean, Captain Commander Stammer. I looked at him and said to myself, what is the deal with this? I mean, my God, the teeth look good. But, you know, I'm sorry, this is not an apple-eating contest. This is a campaign. And it's 3 days. And someone said to me after the debate, Michael, you're so good in the boardroom when you're talking to your executives. Why did you freeze up? Well, I wanted to appear dignified. Well, woe is me.
Yeah.
I won't be making that mistake twice because I won't be on the stage.
You're not doing any more debates.
I won't be doing. My campaign will be predicated on buying large amounts of television advertising in key states all over America, and I will not be doing any debating or interviews whatsoever. And that will apply also to my presidency. But I will get it done. I will get it done.
You said that you're going to self-finance your campaign. I just have a question. Do you like money?
You know, I think it's important to point out that, well, there's one of my favorite songs.
What's that?
It's from a lovely musical that played in New York just a short time ago called Cabaret.
I've seen it.
And the song is Money Makes the World Go Round.
Yes.
And I have it on continuous loop on my little player, Melania, whatever the player's name is, it's
not Melania.
Money makes the world go round. The world go round.
So, if I were to say to you, Mayor, a few words, and I would say things like $10 bills, quarters.
Stop it! Yeah, you're doing that to me.
Dimes.
Come on, okay. The only thing I can't
wheat back pennies.
Oh, it can't make me taller, but I love it. I love the wallow in it.
50-cent pieces.
It's spectacular. You know, and speaking of money, would it hurt Senator Elizabeth Warren to go out and buy a jacket that doesn't look like something that the cat had kittens on? I mean, please, really. I understand this, the concept of the sensible wash and wear jacket, but my God, and can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
There was a bit of an odor coming off.
Yeah.
A bit of an odor, you know, and it smelled a little bit like Old Plain.
Oh.
And pimento and cheese sandwich.
And you smell like Vitalis.
I smell like Brill Cream and Vitalis, all the hair products that keep my hair in place, unlike Senator Sanders.
You know,
I just wish people would stop making such a big deal about my performance last night. Isn't it obvious to you and to everyone who's looking at me that I am the most talented person on the stage?
Are you smart?
It's obvious. I'm smarter than the room.
Really?
You don't amass a... Look, Pally.
You're going to call me Rob, Mike. You're going to call me Rob, Mr. Bloomberg.
You don't amass a fortune like mine without having smarts. I have outwitted, outthunk, and outsmarted every single person that's ever come across my path. And I will outsmart Donald Trump because there's really nothing there. Do you understand what
I'm realize saying? You're running your campaign like you're a contestant on Survivor?
Well, what is it if not a survival contest?
That's true.
Right,
that's true.
That?
And if you win Survivor, you win a lot of money.
Well, do you really call that a lot of money?
Hey.
You know what I call $1 million?
What?
Grand prize. I call that 5 before 10. Okay,
I understand. Well,
Can we be clear? Really?
Let's focus on the positive just for a second. Because
sure.
Even though last night was an unmitigated disaster.
Who am I speaking with again?
This is Rob Spiewak with the Mike O'Mara Show.
You're with the Mike O'Mara Show.
Exactly.
And, what is this, a podcast?
It's a podcast. You get it on the computer. It's on the radio. It's the whole deal.
Hold on a second. Do you know Steve Bridges?
Oh, boy. We do. Do you know Steve Bridges?
Oh, wonderful man. Wonderful, wonderful man.
What's your favorite thing about him?
Well, we were in grade school together. We rope climbed.
You rope climbed?
We rope climbed together.
Who made it to the top first?
Bridges did. Bridges,
really?
We were both known as the fastest and strongest guys with the skinniest arm.
I want to focus on the positive from last night. I have to say, you looked good up there. You looked healthy.
Thank you very much.
You looked vibrant. What is your diet? How is your day-to-day living?
I don't like to often get into my my day-to-day eating
habits. Let's paint in broad strokes. Like, have you eaten this morning?
Yes, I have. I have my regular breakfast. I have the same breakfast that I've had for 37 years.
Which is
one
what?
Of my, well, I... this is embarrassing.
No, it's fine. This is a safe space. It's a safe space. People, I've always felt when people vote for a candidate, they're not just voting for the office, they're voting for the man. So we need to know you.
Well, every morning, one of my assistants brings me my newspapers. I read the Daily News, the New York Post, the New York Times, and the Wall Street Journal.
Okay, all New York papers. All New York papers.
Every single day. And then she brings me a bowl of my favorite breakfast food that I eat every day.
Which is?
Grasshoppers.
Grasshoppers?
Dead.
Well, I mean, dead or alive, I'm sure they're...
Grasshoppers, defrosted, and put in a bowl.
So,
and they eat. My darn.
So, you had, there's no...
Lovely, fresh grasshoppers.
No utensils?
No.
So,
no, I eat them with my darn.
Can you show me?
I snatched them into it. No, I will not show you.
I'd love to see
but
a video.
I will tell you, this is a big scoop, and you should be proud of yourself.
Yeah, two scoops,
you
actually.
I have a scoop now that I eat grasshoppers. They're the only insects that I love, and I enjoy them. They're a wonderful source of protein, and I...
Keto, right?
I snatch them out of the bowl individually. On my tongue.
With your tongue.
On my tongue.
That, and that's every morning for 37 years.
Every morning, 13 to 14, fresh frozen grasshoppers. And they have to be, by the way, they have to be from South America.
Oh, of course.
South American grasshoppers. They have a super certain flavor. It's a little bit like a combination of peanut butter and cumin. And they
are. Do you season them, or do they naturally taste of cumin?
They taste of cumin, almost like a chili flavor, and peanut butter. It's different. It's a quiet taste.
How far are you from the bowl when you snatch the grasshoppers?
Oh, you're a master interviewer. You are a master interviewer.
Thank you.
I am. All right. I'll give you the whole skinny. I don't use utensils.
No, not at all.
They put the bowl in front of me, and the bowl is probably 3 to 4 feet away.
Wow.
Well, it's an exercise.
And you can do that while you read the papers?
If I'm feeling frisky, I have my assistant throw them up in the air.
How's your catching percentage?
Well, we have slow motion photography of it also.
I would love to see that. It's www.michaelbloomberg.com.
If you'd like to see the pictures, slow motion photographs of me eating the grasshoppers out of midair, maybe we can put them up on the website.
I would love that.
Not until I get all this debate business.
No, you got to put that behind you.
With that. But can I say this? I have nothing but the utmost respect. I might be called arrogant. It's so wrong. I have the utmost respect for Senator Klobuchar, for Mayor Pete Buttigieg, for Joe Biden, for Elizabeth Warren, for Bernie Sanders. They're just not quite as smart as me. And you may say, well, it looked, Mr. Bloomberg, like you were standing up there on that stage and you didn't feel like you belonged there. Well, I didn't.
Because you're never going to do it again.
I didn't. I'm not going to do it again. I'm above that.
Yeah.
I am above that. Do you know how smart I really am?
I wish
I had a nickel for every nickel I have. I love that.
That's funny. God, that talks about money. You love your money.
Money's
love your
wonderful.
Money.
I truly love money. I truly, truly.
You know, you have so much money, but here's another thing. When you say that we vote for the man and not the office, you have so much money. You see presidents in the past have played golf. People have their leisure time. What do you do with your money that's fun? Don't you do anything fun?
Oh, I do. I'm a fun guy.
Yeah.
I'm a very fun guy. I love using my money for pleasure. Just
and so you're not against it, so you do it.
Against it whatsoever.
What do you do? That's fun.
Well, this morning what I did was I took my, some of it, not all, but I couldn't do that, of course, but I put it on the bed and I rolled around on it.
Yeah! It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
This can't be it. Tommy Corman lives here?
Corman? I thought you said Orman. You know, Chief Orman.
I didn't say Chief Orman. I said Tommy Corman, loud and clear. Come on. I fly for two goddamn days. I haven't slept. I can barely walk.
Mahalaya wakalea.
Mahalaya wakalea. Mahalaya wakalea, yeah.
That goes double for me, Chief. Look, there was a little mix-up here.
Waleo hukilani. Kabluna.
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 Listen, Mahi, I don't have time for this horse.
Hey, Jack, no make insult for the chief, okay? This man get plenty influence in this place, you know?
Influence? He lives in a shack!
He's a man of great simplicity. Come on, you spend 10 minutes with a guy, okay? If you don't do that, oh, the word gonna get around Kauai so fast, next thing you know, ain't nobody gonna help you, brother.
You are from mainland.
That's right.
Do you find Chief Orman attractive?
You're a striking-looking figure. If by attractive...
Hey, Chief. He's looking for a man named Tommy Corman.
If you know where he is...
Have you seen the musical Grand Hotel?
I don't go to the theater that often.
Do you know if he will come to Kauai?
I don't really, but I'll ask around when I get back. Now, could you tell me, did you hear me before about Tommy Corman?
Chief Orman's favorite is, of course, South Pacific.
Well, everybody loves that one, Chief.
Oh, everybody.
Happy talk, keep talking, happy talk. Talk about things you like to do.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
We are live from the Podcast Village Studios in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. The Mike O'Mara Show, or TMOS to our friends, a worldwide podcast and radio show with a family of listeners who are unrivaled in their love and support for their program. If you are a first-timer, sit back, relax, and prepare to be entertained. And for our longtime friends, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for spreading the word every single day about TMOS. From King of Prussia, Pennsylvania, to Chugwater, Wyoming, Chrome, California, Tongue Highlands, Scotland, Hump Tulips, Washington, and Aswan, Egypt. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now.
I'm glad you're here. You just missed a great phoner.
I'm sorry. Traffic was just horrible.
I understand.
Coming in today, so I wasn't able to successfully make it in. Our show today brought to you by Cornerstone. Over 9 million homeowners could save big time on a mortgage refi right now. Do you know why?
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 Happy dog, keep a talking, happy dog, grasshoppers. Because rates have now hit a 3-year low. Whoa.
Whoa.
The average rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage is just 3.49%, matching the lowest level since October 2016, according to a survey by Mortgage News Daily. The unexpected drop in mortgage rates is due to market fears over the coronavirus.
Yes.
So this impact will be temporary. Call my friend Mark Livingstone at Cornerstone First Financial today, 202-625-1221, or online at cornerstonefirst.com. You must act now to take cash out or just save money by securing a lower rate. They carry my personal endorsement. Hello, I'm Mike O'Mara. How are you? And they treated me right. They did. Joanna.
Oh, they're great.
And Emily. And everybody over there at the Cornerstone First. I don't mean over there. I mean downstairs.
Downstairs. Well, for you, it's over there. But for here, it's here.
Oh, it's way up there. It's up there.
Over and to the left.
For me. 202-625-1221. That's 202-625-1221. Or check the web at cornerstonefirst.com. Cornerstone First Financial. Personal attention from application to closing. I realize
I let Oscar get away. We never really got a clear answer on the new desk, did we? Did we really get a clear answer on like, when it's coming?
I'd have to check the tape, but I believe, and maybe the back room can back me up here, at the closing of yesterday's show, he said he would have something a little more solid for you before close of business yesterday. Did you hear from him? Did you get a text?
No. No, he went to Maui. And
yeah, he's off to Hawaii.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's not going to think about anything now. And
He's going to bring you back a lovely desk made of coconut?
I am. I need to talk to you about the albatross because it is. It is a daily now battle for me to realize that this place, like so many Americans that have tried to sell a house, that it's just here. I'm showing it. I just don't.
It's got to be the thing that
stresses me out.
The thing that really gets me, and I thought about this, Leslie. I was thinking about you and your situation, and it's always weird now because we come in and when we click on and we see you on Skype and you're in an empty room, it's right. Got to be a tremendous kick to the teeth every day you go. You have to go to that empty house and see it. It's not like you can even compartmentalize that it's not there. You're still dealing with it on a daily basis. It's got to drive
you
nuts.
When I started doing the show from here, I didn't expect that I'd be here that long.
Right.
And so you're right. When I walk in now,
a daily reminder and a task, because you have been accustomed for a long time now of being able to leave your bedroom and stroll to your studio. Now you have to drive there.
In a way, that's okay. You know, getting out.
Still a reminder, though. It's still
a reminder when you come in here to do it. So I don't know. I basically have Carla sent the realtor a text today that in all caps said, "Sell our house, Kevin." That was really. That's what we did today. I get asked about it all the time.
Of course, his name is Kevin.
And it is as much as when we got a contract on this house 3 days after we put it on the market, right. It was a badge of honor. Now it is a badge of shame when I get asked about it. So, and a lot of people, especially right here in the neighborhood, will right. ask me about it. And
well, that's
I'm not
them
alone.
Being that's them being selfish because they want to know that if they have to sell,
yeah,
that you know all the houses down there are largely similar.
Yeah,
is a, what do they call
they're
that?
Identical. A comp? They're ticky tackies.
They're called a comp. Comps. A comparable house. Yes. Yeah, they want to know that it's selling fast and for lots of money.
Yeah, so it's the albatross, and I fight it. I fight it every day for anybody that and also I like the guy I'm dealing with, and it just sometimes when you get a response that it went well. Well, no. Let's do the real analysis.
Well, you have to change
okay.
where the selling the house is going well.
The only going well is selling it.
Going
anything,
well,
right?
Yeah.
There is no going well.
I mean, when you walked in this morning, you saw that there was no holes in the wall. It hadn't burned down. In
yeah,
that way,
you're not
it went
walk
well.
In, you're not going to walk into a house and say, not my cup of tea.
Right.
You're going to walk in and go, this is great. We'll get back to you, right?
Right.
Most people are going to softball. So going well, but going well now, can you tell I'm starting to go a little insane with
you're,
right now?
You're
going to
be fine. It's going to be fine.
It's just, you know, Carla has been talking me off the ledge with this
is going
bit,
well.
Going well is, and you know how much I love that when somebody tells me yep. things are fine when they're not. You know, you and Pony know that.
Sure.
How much I truly love stuff that's going. But I am reasonably sure that it is beginning to permeate, not the show, thank God.
Thank God.
But it is beginning to permeate my my dealings down here with my wonderful life that I've built for myself. And this is something that's caught me by surprise. We put a lot into this house. We thought it would be something that would appeal to people very, very quickly.
Yeah.
We thought we priced it reasonably. And right now, I'm just I'm just motivated to have this in my rearview mirror.
I understand.
But not so motivated. You know, the easiest way when you're in a situation like this is to reduce the price.
Well,
and by the way,
no, don't
my
do
wife
that.
Is probably screaming at me that I'm talking about this, but I'm talking about it. But then you talk about selfish people in the neighborhood. A lot of people tell me that. Don't lower the price.
Right.
Don't lower the
because
price.
Because it's a kick to their teeth.
But then you hear the stories of these house flippers that go in and they put this in and they get an offer within 2 days. And I need some guidance as to what you know what I'm going to do to have that. And I'm willing to do that.
How right well now. Do you know this, Kevin? Does Kevin know you?
Probably not. Because, probably not as well as he should.
Because you should sit, I mean, the all capital text, that's fun, but you need to sit
Kevin
down.
Yeah, that was kind of fun. It was kind of a fun thing. I bet we didn't. Let me ask Carla. I'm going to call Carla.
Okay,
right now.
She was just in there. She was just in there. But I mean, if Kevin knew that every time he said a walkthrough went well, that's just pissing you off, maybe he needs to adjust his method.
This is not like the show or anything. I don't need to be handled. I just want this is
well,
a
no. I'm not. I'm not saying
situation.
For you to be handled. I'm just saying that he needs to perhaps modify the way he expresses himself, because if it's a no go, it's a no go.
Hello. Wait. Let me turn it up. Yeah. Now it's. You know. I'm sorry.
Calling
we're not,
Carla.
We're not in a crowded movie theater, so it's turned all the way down. The only time it's turned up on the crap phone of the world. I have a question. So when you sent that funny text, sell our house, Kevin, did he get back to you?
He did.
Oh, he did. Oh, okay. What did he say?
Yeah. He said that we had an open house on Sunday, March the 1st.
Oh, he got back. That's right. Okay.
Okay. All
right.
Did he say that the text went well?
We have somebody coming to look at the place next Tuesday, and he wanted to know about the roof.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. All right. Great. All right. Thank you. I'm talking about it on the show because that's the anxiety is spilling into my regular day.
I know. I hear you. I understand. But it's going to be okay. Our house is beautiful and it will sell.
Thank you, honey. I love you.
You're welcome.
Have a
love
great
you
day.
Too.
Bye. Okay.
All right. And now you hang up and she rolls her eyes.
She's we're put upon. Well, she's doing great. She's doing wonderful. And I'm going to give her a plug.
Okay.
The facialist, Carla, who's really going out of her mind with her business.
You know what I saw yesterday online is her frequent customer, the 10th one's on me card. Like the
very cool.
The Subway
very
card. Cool. Where is she initialing them? Does she have a punch? How does she do that?
I think she's going to initial them with her signature.
You know what you should get her is a custom punch.
A custom punch?
Yeah, like because he's just like a hole punch would be, you could forge that, but like a star or something.
Mm. Yeah. All right. I'll get right on that. But I, no, I'm very happy.
It would be
for
fun
her.
For everybody.
Yeah, okay, it'd be fun. I'm happy. I'm happy.
I can tell.
So, but here's my commercial. Carla's the facialist called blah, 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 blah. And, right. And she, no, I'll give her a plug. I don't have the phone number right here. But people can do that and call Carla. How quick are you on your phone getting into it?
Well, I know she has a Facebook page. I'm a fan of it.
She's very, very good.
Right. Talented. You get that custom hole punch and she's off to the races.
Yeah. She's being very nice. What is this?
What?
I should not open Facebook when we're on the show.
What did you find?
Mike, I thought I would give you some ideas for your new studio design. And a guy.
I've seen it. While Mike looks at that, may I encourage all of you to call Dermaglow Skin at 239-247-4036. Yeah. That's 239.
Sorry, Carl, I got distracted by me.
239-247-4036. I'm sorry, I can't. I can't talk to you.
Stern of a boat.
I can't talk to you.
Oh my God, these studio designs are fantastic.
Everyone better than the other.
Oh wow. Oh, the bar. Wow. Oh, I know it's all Photoshopped goodness, but it's all these nautical things.
Yeah, exactly. That's what you need.
Let me say thank you to Jimmy Hoffman. Jimmy Hoffman, that's wonderful. Thank you very much. I appreciate that for the studio. I'm all over the place.
You
today,
are a little bit, but you know
I'm
what?
Sorry.
It's going to be okay. It's going to be fine. As Carla said, it's going to sell. And then you can build your barge and put a studio on it.
That's my favorite
one. That's the one that looks like a boat.
Doesn't get focused, but that's the one. They all look like boats. It's fantastic. So here we are, and life goes
it's
on.
It's going to sell, Mike. It's going to sell. And you know what? It's going to be an ultimate great feeling. It's just taking a little longer than you thought.
Here's the thing, and I'll be perfectly honest with you. This, what we did over the last, I want to say, 3 to 5 years.
Okay.
We've always been looking at other properties when we had Michael because we knew we would need a little more space for the family to be comfortable and for me to work from the home.
And he's growing every day.
But we always knew that this probably would be coming eventually if we could find an opportunity that worked for us.
Uh-huh.
So this is this house we have been doing things to, not just to improve our quality of life, but slowly over a period of time, we've been doing this with the thought that it would be attractive to a buyer.
See, this is why. What you're doing is
that's what's frustrating.
You're allowing the house. You slowly but surely made the house appreciate, and that's good forward thinking. And you know what? You'll benefit from it ultimately.
Well, when That's the question I see, because right now, and everybody's saying this to me, and I'm just kind of, I'm gobsmacked by this a little bit.
What if I issued, put on my turban and issued a prediction? You will have a miracle before St. Patrick's Day.
That would work for me. That would work for me.
Write it
that
down, Pony. St. Patrick's Day miracle.
Rob Spiewak, if you, there will be a bottle of whatever Crown Royal you like.
Oh, nice.
In your mailbox, if that comes to me.
And Mike, it will.
Prior to March 17th.
It will happen. It will happen. I promise.
I'm fine. That'll be good. That'll be terrific. And we will do that. And we will now take a break.
If it's a big enough bottle of Crown, I might buy the house.
That's good. Oh, please do. Come on down. You'd love it. Why don't you move down here?
That'd be great. Yeah.
We'll take a break and we will come back with more fun and more thrills. This is the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody.
There seems to be a lot of friction out there lately.
I know. We all gotta get along.
That's right.
Instead of everyone choosing sides, we should all just get along and laugh.
And there's a perfect solution. The TMOS Bonus Show.
It's an extra hour less you get every week from Mike, Rob, and Oscar.
Plus, your subscription helps support the mission of TMOS, keeping America in hysterics.
So click on the banner at MikeOMaraShow.com today and join the fun.
After all, it's very funny.
It's an extra hour of comedy.
It's funny.
Extra hour.
Funny.
Extra hour.
Oh, good Lord. Those two still don't have it figured out. Take it from me, that guy, the TMOS Bonus Show, is a fantastic way to support the show that's both funny and an extra hour of mirth and whimsy. Get your passport to the assport today. Back to you, Mike.
Thank you.
Did you see that? Ready. That guy his daughter got married over the weekend. That guy did.
I didn't.
Felicitations.
Congratulations, Robert. I know his name now. It's Robert.
But it's better to call him that guy.
All right, that guy. Small nose, big mouth. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Honey.
Honey.
You know that honey is sweet, but honey is also a sweet way to save money. Honey is the free online shopping tool that automatically finds the best promo codes and applies them to your cart. But how does it feel to save with Honey?
Oh.
Saving with Honey is like hitting the lottery, because Honey will surprise you with money.
Money!
In the form of savings you're not expecting. You'll love it. Honey makes you feel like a princess living in the kingdom of value.
It's the
is
best
that yours?
Yes, that's the best way to feel.
I love feeling like a princess. Honey has found its over 18 million members, over $2 billion. That's a real number right
there.
That's
great stuff.
$2 billion in savings. Did you know Honey supports over 30,000 stores online, including Macy's, Target, Sephora, Best Buy, and more, and they're adding more every day. Users love Honey. That's why it has over 100,000 five-star plus reviews on the Google Chrome store. Using Honey feels pretty great. Think of it as a little daily victory. Plus, it's free to use and installs in just a few seconds. And it gives you the code right there. So
it's
you
so
can get
easy.
A discount.
It's so
get
easy.
Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/TMOS. That's joinhoney.com/TMOS. Thank you, Honey. Yeah. So with all the consternation that I've been talking about, I think that's probably the main reason that I fell off the wagon with my keto yesterday. Let me explain how this happened. So I'm keto. That's protein and fat. That's what the people know what it is.
Yeah.
It's basically a protein diet.
It's Carl a diet. The diet's been around for a long time, but it seems like right now it's red hot.
Very
again.
Hot. Yeah. Very hot right now. I have lost some inches. Not sure about the weight. The jury might still be out on it. Yesterday I was fragile, just like I am coming in today.
Sure.
And so
head gloves, guys.
I am out with my mates at Cocoonville. I have a wonderful life down here. I'm very lucky. I'm very fortunate. I get to do what I love. I get to do a show I love. I get to raise my son in a place I want to be, and I'm very happy. So I'm out on the Cocoonville golf course, where I spend as much time as I possibly can. I love it, and I get a little hungry. Now,
heckish.
Earlier in the day, I had eggs, protein, of course,
right.
Little shrimp at lunch.
How do you take your eggs?
I make myself a little omelet usually almost every morning. Then sometimes I'll run out for fast food, an egg patty and just a sausage patty. So it's protein,
right.
Protein. And I go I know keto to a certain extent, but I have not studied it perhaps as hard as I might. And I'm out there in the middle of the day and I go by the snack bar And I said, okay, I'm hungry. I'm rarely hungry on this diet. I really do very well.
Well, it's
on
very
that count.
The food is very substantial. It stays
might
with
might have
you.
Been the shrimp. I don't eat a lot of shrimp, and but it might have been the fact that I ate shrimp and I went out and I just was very hungry. I was feeling a little run down.
Yep.
Who knows what the reason is? But I said I need a little fuel, and so I go in and I grab some nuts. What I didn't realize,
hey, look out!
I thought nuts were all kind of created equal.
Right.
I'm a moron. I go down and I down a like 3/4 of a small bag of cashews. By the way, I bought two and I down about a 3/4 of a bag. And then I look on the back. That's yes. when I decide to look on the back of it.
For the net
and
carbs.
I see net carbs, 14.
Too many. Right,
that is like that is the equivalent of a carb bomb
yes.
in my belly that I did not, you know. Now, I didn't expect that.
Let's pause here and go through your mental process, because here's what right. I know about diets is when you're on the straight and narrow and you stick to it, it could be keto, it could be anything. If right. you're in the zone,
yeah.
it's easy to stay in the zone. But what's happened sure. here is right. you have ingested carbs. Are you doing mental math in your head that you're going to spin out in 5, 4, okay. 3?
It's spin out time, because I realize that I have blown it. With literally a bag that is this big. It's
and
this
not
big
even a good cheat. It's a yeah. bad cheat.
It's a bad cheat. And what do I do? I'm right. like, I go, you know, you could say, oh, be careful. Put that off to the side. Don't eat that last third.
Oh, no.
Crapola.
Of course.
I'm hungry. I'm eating both bags. I eat both bags.
Two.
Then I get home and I wrote it down, okay? Because I said to my wife, well, the text goes something like this. I'm going out to dinner with my mother. You're on your own. Would you like me to bring you back anything from Sushi Thai? And I said to her, I said, yeah, bring me back some sushi. F keto.
Oh,
that's what I said last night. So I was, yes.
How
yes,
long did
bring
it take?
Me some sushi.
How long?
Keto.
How long did it take for the cashews to work with your cravings? Because your cravings had to
instantly.
Get bad. Yeah, I would think so.
Instantly.
I would think, okay, that's the thing. I've been on diets where they say, for your snack, 2 tablespoons of nuts. And that's
right.
the most BS portion of anything you've ever
it's
heard. It's like saying, you may have 5 granules of rice. Well, why even bother? Because nuts are to be eaten by the yeah. handful. If you're going to eat nuts, do it.
Look, there are days like this after I've, look, I have lost some inches on keto. I have felt okay on keto. I am not one of these people. Look, I think there
have you
are people
weighed
out
in?
There.
Have you yeah. weighed in and there's
yeah.
not much shift?
No, not really. I'm
wow.
sorry, I'm being honest, people.
No, it's fine.
All you keto people that have lost 40 pounds, I'm sorry. I think that there are these programs that suddenly hit for somebody. I think that I misconstrued the whole keto thing and I have to do it. The difference is, this is the way I'm approaching it.
Okay,
right now.
All right.
Keto is like any other protein. You can't eat whatever you want on keto. You can't eat massive quantities of
bacon.
Protein and fat and expect it to, because you're in ketosis, to magically have weight melt off. You still have to kind of mind what you put in. You have to do some counting. It's that there's no
people
easy
always
fix.
Say they you know the big guy that again I'll include myself in this type. They say I'm doing keto. It's great. All I do is eat bacon all day and steak every night, and they
yeah,
make it
crap.
Sound like it's a picnic, but it can't
it's crap.
Be. No,
it's not. You can't do that. So you're right, though. The trigger is probably the sugars. That's what gets
yep.
you going. And so I get home. And I told Carla, bring me back some sushi. Somebody might say, well, sushi, that's just raw fish. That's not. No, it's the white rice that
wrapped
you're not supposed to
rice,
have in
yeah.
keto.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's got something you're not. And that's why I said, bring it to
yep.
me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have a salad from the Japanese joint. It's got that ginger sugary salad dressing.
So
on
good,
it.
Though.
Everything bad, but it's starting to mount up. And
right.
now I'm going into a frenzy. So
right.
I wrote it down here. Where
increased heart rate. Sweating.
Keto rebellion.
Okay.
All right. Michael, for Valentine's Day, got one of those giant Hershey Kisses that they sell in the store.
I know what you
ones.
Mean. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And by the way, they're not solid, which I think is a ripoff. They're
what?
Hollow.
They used
yeah,
to be.
Yeah, they're hollow. And but I
not okay.
I might have checked into that. Then Michael, it's all Michael's food that I attacked last night.
Well, he's going to be pleased with you.
He's got granola bars. And chocolate chip granola bars. And
again,
and
that's not even a good cheat.
Yeah, well, it was good for me.
Okay.
It was good for me because I was just out of my mind. And Carla was leaving me alone Okay. Which was kind of cool. She was doing her own thing.
Yeah.
And she knew that I was rebelling off of keto. And she likes it, but she doesn't love it. So when she sees me do this, and God knows what she had at the sushi joint,
right,
probably better than me. But then what the key was, and this is where the non-keto carbohydrate food,
yes,
that puts me into really a coma.
Okay.
I discovered in the back of the pantry this full box, brand new, of Nilla wafers.
Oh, and now that's a good cheat.
I was like a raccoon standing on a trash can. And and then I have to watch the debate because that's what I do. And so I'm in this complete coma. I woke up today. You might as well have given me a fifth of bourbon with the condition that I was in getting up this morning. I am a mess. I'm freely admitting to my listening audience that I am a hot mess. I'm a weak man.
Mike,
I'm a weak man, okay?
I've heard everything you said, and allow me to say this. It's going well.
Yeah, it's going
great. Look at you. You're fine. You're up. You're doing the show. It's great. You had an off day. You ate some cashews, and you know what? The cashews were not murder. The cashews were manslaughter. You did not mean to cheat. It was an accidental cheat. And then, you know, the result of the cashews is, you know, skip ahead five steps and you're eating Nabisco products.
I'm okay staying on this program most of the time.
Right.
This program, it's kind of a psychological move. What triggered me to fall off the wagon was a mistake. If I had known,
I would not
have done this. But the psychological end of it is that I wanted to. I wanted to have this moment where I don't. But you always do.
I mean, and I'd say you as you. I say one always wants.
Have you been dabbling in it at all? Have you been?
I've been watching what Carrie eats, and some of the stuff is real
You've
good.
You've been watching.
No,
what
I mean
Carrie eats.
She's
good
been sticking,
for you, Rob.
Thank you.
Good for you. Way to put the effort forward.
She's
That's
been sticking
fantastic.
To it, but I mean, like yesterday, I had to buckle. I had to buy some bread because there's no bread in the house. So I went to the grocery store.
So you are not. What
no.
you're saying is you are not.
No, but
you
I'm not.
You can't
I'm
when
not.
I ask you if you're dabbling in it, say I'm watching my wife.
Well,
that doesn't
okay,
count.
Then, dabbling would mean not doing it full force. I'm eating the food she cooks, and it's very good. Some of it's
very
good.
Yeah, but
you're
eating your own food,
yeah, and
too.
I'm adding,
you're eating what you
and
are.
I'm having a plate of biscuits with it. No, it looks like something I could stick to, and I probably should give it a try since it's already being prepared in my home. But you know what? It's the spin-outs.
Is it a magic?
Happen.
I think there are two things at play here.
Okay.
I'm not doing it right. I'm not doing it completely the way maybe you should, and everything's got a little system that I might not be mastering. I do see that I am in ketosis when I do it, but it's not.
Are you using the stick?
I use the stick, the pee stick, the piss stick.
And you're only allowed to use those once, right?
Yeah. You know what the worst thing about those?
The taste.
The taste is terrible. And, hey, Maddie, you're thin. What do you eat every day?
I should be obese, so I'm the wrong person to talk to.
So you can eat. Are you one of those people that can eat anything she wants?
I have a pretty fast metabolism.
Well, your father was a pro athlete.
Well, that too. Yeah. I have some athletic genes, which also went, you know, by the wayside.
I have prescription genes.
We got two skinny people that work on this show.
I know.
The behind the scenes are the skinny folks
and Pony,
the fat guys.
Pony is like working with a feral goat because he grazes all day.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, hey, can you help me with this? And he's got, you know, one M&M, one raisin.
Well, I'm
one
curious,
peanut.
Though, about when Maddie says fast metabolism, that do you pretty much throw caution to the wind where it's just if it's something you have a craving for, or, you know, I'm curious about your eating habits. We know about Pony.
I'll give you an example.
Yes.
Because this really was the epitome of my eating on Valentine's Day when John and I went out.
Yes.
We each got two desserts, and we were at Philomena, which has very large.
Oh, Philomena. I remember that place from years, like a million years ago.
So between
is that the Italian
of you,
joint? Hey, wait a minute. Is that the Italian joint that's in Georgetown?
Yeah,
that,
it's in Georgetown. It has a little lady making the gnocchi in the
and they
window.
Serve, they serve like that. You can get, back in the day, you could get like, they would bring out Sambuca.
Yeah, yeah. At the end, you get Sambuca and Amaretto.
Is that the same? I cannot believe that place is still there. Oh,
that's
my
That's fantastic.
God.
I like that it's still here. That's good.
That is like one of, that is the, that's an old Georgetown Italian haunt. That's where you guys went for Valentine's.
Yeah, the reason it's still open, Mike, is because people come there and order four desserts.
Four desserts. And they have, what would you have, like tiramisu or something like
what
that?
What did I have? I had a, it was a triple chocolate mousse cake and then a chocolate hazelnut cake.
Oh, two.
But the sizes
desserts.
There are big. And I also, I mean, I had pasta for dinner. And
sure.
Then
oh, hell chocolate
burrata for a appetizer. So,
oh, but, you know what? I love you, Maddie. I really do. These are the, I'm living vicariously through you right now because that's the that's the antithesis of what I should be putting in my body right now. But Philomena, I remember, Rob, from years ago, there was a legendary overserved situation with that Sambuca at Philomena. They brought it out to the, they bring it out like to the table, and if you abuse it, it's terrible. Remember Sambuca
of
with
course.
The Don and Mike
oh,
show
God,
we used to
I
drink
mean,
that stuff
rocket fuel I remember
oh and it's so nasty to put in your body
when we would
put,
we would
angle.
Play like an away a game if we were doing like a remote broadcast say in Wichita they one time booked us in a dry venue
right
and I had to use a plastic cup and a screwdriver to make a shaker to chill right. the Sambuca. I mean, it right. was really, it was like MacGyver stuff. That was yep. as important to the show as a microphone back then.
Oh, my God. But boy, to be
so
able
this
to eat
over-served
anything
you want.
Pasta and two desserts. I'm so jealous. That's
this
great.
This over-served situation, is it someone we know or is it a news person? Or
this,
is it a-
may, this may actually go back to either my brother-in-law or my sister. And,
wow, because I've not heard of the
you,
place.
My brother, my brother-in-law has been married over 40 years to my sister now. And,
yeah.
You know, it's just, I mean, we go back a long way. Kathy and Paul both worked in Washington, D.C., and I know Philomena. I just love it when I hear about, like, a sole proprietorship restaurant that is still getting it done. And
we've got a couple in Georgetown. There's Martin's Tavern is still here. There's
Martin's
good,
Tavern's
good
another
guys.
Old waiters, right? I love the old joints. I mean, it's
and,
fun.
And good guys.
Good guys too.
No, it's just
I'm sorry. You're talking. You're coming up on look, probably 50 years.
Oh yeah, yeah. And they have still two of the original dancers.
That note, we have to take a break.
Thank Tuesday you, nights, stupid. Mostly Tuesday nights for them.
Pony, we would have analyzed your eating habits, but there's really not that much there, is there?
No, I mean it's all keto friendly stuff. Basically, I'm not a big sweets guy.
Oh really? So you.
Well, you like are your you, Japanese candies.
Well, yeah. I mean, I make, like, mochi and stuff like that, but, I mean, it's not really...
Is that crap you brought in that looked like a bag of mold?
Yes.
Okay, it looks tasty.
What's it, well...
When we come back, I want him to describe it to you.
Mochi?
Okay. Mochi. Yes.
What is it?
Mochi.
Mochi.
Mochi. Great. Something to look forward to. We'll take a break, and we'll come back with more on the Mike O'Mara Show. And now...
Oh, it's Larry.
King's Thing. Hi, I'm Larry. I don't trust my doorknobs. I haven't tied a shoe in over 12 years. How about a TV show about cheese? My medicine chest is mostly full of ointments. I don't understand TikTok, but I love it. Canned fruit cocktail. Underrated. I just don't think that Joker movie was all that funny. I once lost a finger in a zipper accident. I need somebody to help me find my keys. When I need a laugh, I listen to the TMOS bonus show. Your passport to the assport. Whoa. Funny, right? Buy it at MichaelMaryShow.com.
Larry might need to come by tomorrow. I've got some more stuff for
I'm
him.
Very sad.
Why?
Well, you know, what are we going to do when he's gone? Anyway, welcome back to the Mike O'Mara
he's
Show.
Going
that's the
nowhere.
Mindset I'm in today.
He's going nowhere.
This portion of the Mike O'Mara Show brought to you by Sleep Number. Here's a fact. 9 out of 10 couples disagree on mattress firmness. Sleep Number to the rescue. From feather soft to super firm, you can adjust to each side of your Sleep Number setting. So it's just right for both of you, for couples. It's great. One side one way, the other side the other way. Proper sleep strengthens immunity, increases the ability to focus, sharpens cognitive function, and improves emotional well-being. You gotta go to a Sleep Number store to try their individual fit technology. Explore the science behind the bed. You can literally see your body's pressure points react to a Sleep Number 360 smart bed. The Sleep Number 360 smart bed senses your movements and automatically adjusts to keep you sleeping comfortably through the night. My Sleep Number setting is a 90. I got it really firm now because I've been playing some golf and my back's tweaked. So I really, really, I can't even tell you how medicinal it is for me. Carla's is a 65. We love it. Discover proven quality sleep and save 50% on the 360 limited edition smart bed now during the Ultimate Sleep Number event. only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com/TMOS. And when you go into a Sleep Number store, we got a brand new one just up the road here in Fort Myers, Florida. You go in and you tell them that Mike O'Mara sent you, and we would appreciate that. Yeah, I felt like I gave Pony a little short trip there. I didn't mean to
Let me set the table here, because last Friday was Valentine's Day, and Maddie organized a little bit of Valentine's fun at Podcast Village, where we all
had our
little mailboxes, and I got some fruit-themed pun Valentines that would be appropriate for a first-grade class and passed them out, and then there was candy. People handed out candy, and then I went down there, and there was a Ziploc bag laying unattended on a table that looked like moldy soap powder that someone had spit in. And it was just laying there. And I kind of looked at it, and there was black on it in a way that it looked like spores, like mold had grown on whatever this was. And I looked at it, and I thought, you know, should I ask, or should I just leave it there, or should I throw it away? Because there's a lot of action going on at the Village. Please, I'm open to questions.
I have to ask you this. Did it have a... was it in pieces?
No, it was a single unit, a globular-looking unit. Best described almost like a, like it looked like it could have been a dough or it could have been a cleaning process.
Okay.
It was in a Ziploc bag laying flat, and it had gotten to a point where there was sort of around it a little bit of a murky puddle because it had been oozing a little bit. And again, there's a lot of stuff going on at Podcast Village. It's self-contained. It's in a bag. I didn't ask about it until Dahlia came by and opened it up and took a taste of it and made a face as if it was pretty good. And I said, ah, so it's food, but it still looks like garbage. What is it? And then...
is this the mochi he was talking about?
Or is it gnocchi? How do you spell
mochi.
It? How do you
mochi.
Spell it?
M-O-C-H-I.
Okay.
And Japanese is easy to pronounce when you get the phonetics with it.
So then Friday Pony comes whizzing through, and of course he's happy because it's Valentine's Day, his favorite day of the year.
And it's Friday. He's getting out.
And he begins to describe
the
process.
He had 2 days without any human contact. He's happy.
2 days to ignore our texts. And
right?
So Pony starts talking about this process. And you've said it before, I was gobsmacked. So walk us through, buddy. What is it?
Okay, so mochi is a rice cake, basically. You start with short grain glutinous rice. Thank you. So you get this.
That's my new favorite Asian sound right there. This is like Kill Bill Volume 2 with Uma Thurman going up the stairs.
And could it be any less like Pony? I'm sorry, Pony, start again. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Okay, so you start with this short grain, sweet, glutinous rice. And you put it in a blender and you chop it up nice and fine, and then you put
How fine? Like flour fine? Is it dusty?
No, it's coarse.
I'm going to help you with the Pony story, okay? Because when you're talking to food people, and we got a lot of foodies in our audience, Pony, we want detail, all right? You don't just say start with, you cook this rice, you steam this rice. I want detail.
Yeah.
I want the detail from start to finish on how you make this product, because then I'll be able to enjoy the idea of eating it more, okay? So start from the beginning.
I don't know about that.
What do you do with the rice? You cook it, obviously?
Well, first, you have to put it in a blender and chop it up nice and coarse.
All right, so you take the dry rice.
Yes.
And you put it in and almost turn it into a flour?
Yeah, almost. Like kind of like a coarse flour.
So is it a like, flour. Okay. Would you say it's like akin to salt? Is it according to like cornmeal?
Now you're asking, now Rob Spiewak has gone too far into the detail. All right? We have to have a happy, let one fat guy handle this interview, okay?
I'm stepping
let
back.
One fat man, okay? I was fine with the coarse flour, all right? We didn't know, you don't need to get you want him to get a protractor out to tell you how coarse it was?
I think that you would need to know if you saw the disaster that it resulted in just trying to set the table.
All right, okay. So
but
coarse
I'm out.
Flour.
I'm out.
You grind up the rice.
Anyhow, yes, yeah, so you grind it up and then you soak it for like 10 hours and just let it sit and get nice and moist. And then you
in
put
what?
It,
water?
Yeah, in a bowl.
All right. Okay.
And then you get a pot and you fill it up and you put some cheesecloth down in like a steamer tray.
Stop.
Yes.
Stop. You're such a bad storyteller. I have to get.
It's right. so hard with Rob.
I know it's hard with Rob, but I just step by step. Because I'm actually listening. I'm paying attention, Pony, and I don't do that very often with you. I'm actually paying it. So you soak it for 10 hours.
Yeah, you have to let the rice get really, really soaked, or else it won't work right when you go to do
it
the
won't
next
work
part.
Right.
Thank you, Rob.
Then you take the cheesecloth.
Yeah, you're going to take
and
cheese
you put
crumb.
It. Oh, hold on, and then you put it over the bowl.
No, you put it in the bottom of a steamer tray.
Oh, there's a steamer tray now that mm-hmm. We have, and you put the cheesecloth. What's a steamer tray, Rob?
It almost looks like a colander, something that would sit down in another pot,
perforated.
Similar to a perforated double boiler.
Oh, like you would put pasta in.
Yeah,
you could do
exactly.
It that
exactly.
Way too.
Yes.
So you put the inside the steamer tray, you put the cheesecloth, and then you pour this solution of goo into there.
You pour the grains onto the cheesecloth, and then you just steam it for like an hour and a half.
You steam it within the starchy water that you poured into the bottom of the pan.
Yeah, I mean, you just let it boil and it steams the rice. It kind of steams off a lot of the starch.
Do you have it covered or uncovered?
Oh, you have to cover it, of course.
Of course.
So you cover it. So when you take your steam tray out, what does it look like?
So when you take it out, it's still kind of, it's sort of like cooked rice, only they're like really, really tiny little grains of cooked rice that you have left.
Separate.
Yeah, they're mostly separate. And you just dump that out on a table.
Right.
And then you have to take like a meat tenderizer and you have to
like a mallet?
It. Yeah, like a mallet, and you just hit the pile and then you fold it over and you keep hitting it and kneading it.
Wait, you hit the pile and then I need more words here.
Okay.
You hit the pile, so
is
you
it still in the cheesecloth?
You're asking questions after I'm asking questions, Rob. One fat man asking the questions for f- sake. All right. So you smash the rice globules,
mm-hmm.
and then what does that result in?
That results in something very much like dough. So it feels very much like bread dough.
Okay. Yes. Go ahead, Rob.
If they're separate particles that you're hitting with a hammer, mm-hmm. what keeps them from going everywhere?
So they're stuck together because they're
so
hot
they're
and
not
sticky.
Separate.
No, but they're sticky grains of rice that are stuck together.
And then they mold together when you smash them. How come you don't just roll them together?
If you try and roll them together, they'll stick to the roller. It's very, very sticky.
But why don't they stick to the hammer that you're hitting with?
Well, they do. I mean,
sorry, but I'm just asking these logical. Mm-hmm. Shut up, Rob. Shut Rob.
I'm
Rob.
I'm just laughing. I'm just
Rob.
Laughing. Let me laugh. Let me laugh.
All right. So, so you hit it with a hammer, but they don't stick to the hammer?
You have to wet the hammer. You have to
make sure everything's being wetted. Another step, you have to wet the hammer. All right, with what, motor oil?
Yes, motor oil.
No, what do you... So
you use water.
You hit water. Okay, and
urine.
Then you...
Urine.
That's at the end.
And then you mash, and then you fold it all together.
You fold it, and you keep hitting it, and you keep folding it, and it takes a while, and eventually you get this stuff that's just like really, really rubbery dough.
Okay, and then what do you do?
And you add sugar throughout... the process, and you keep kneading it and folding it.
So you skip
folding
that.
It.
So when do you add the sugar? This is a typical pony instruction right
once
here.
Once you've gotten right. the
like
dough,
Pulp Fiction.
Once you've gotten the dough to the consistency of dough, like we were saying, you start adding in sugar and
that's
folding
when you start
it.
Adding in sugar, okay. And then you add sugar, fold, pound. Add sugar, fold, pound.
Exactly.
Correct?
You keep doing this for a while, and then once that's done, you just kind of let it sit, and then you have to make the... bean paste, which is this is the other part
Jesus,
of the
you need a life. I
and,
can't
and Mike,
is there any reason why you haven't gotten laid for 50 years? Oh my God.
If you've ever ripped a bean, you know how important it is to have bean paste.
Bean
paste. To repair it.
Do you make the bean paste homemade?
Yeah. You boil some beans. It's called an adzuki bean. It's kind of like a red bean.
Okay, so is it a zucchini?
And you.
All right, so you boil it. Yeah.
And
then
you,
what?
You saute it and you add a bunch of sugar.
What do you saute it in?
In a pan.
With what?
With water.
All right, that's not sauteing. That's more like boiling.
Yeah, it might be a poaching
or steaming.
Yes, I apologize.
You're sauteing
You're
something.
You're sauteing it in water.
In water. All right, you saute the beans after they've been steamed?
Yes.
So and you're cooking the living garbage out of the. You're kicking.
Exactly.
You're kicking the crap out of these beans.
Yeah, you have to. You have all to right. really cook them down, and then you just pour in the sugar until the water in the pan.
Wait, the sugar from like more sugar from another source or what?
Yeah. You just add straight cane sugar.
Meanwhile, your paste is over on the other side, and now you're adding sugar to the beans.
Exactly. Gotcha. It's a very high carb snack.
We don't need that right now. I'm just trying to get the process. So you got your beans with sugar. You got your paste, your rice paste with sugar.
No, the rice is dough.
The rice is dough. The beans are paste.
The dough.
Beans are paste.
Paste dough. Same goddamn thing, Rob. Just trying to get to the finish line here. That's all I'm trying to do. We're running out of show with this. It's more time than I ever expected to. So you have the dough. You have the dough, and then you have the sugary bean paste.
Yes, and then you take the bean paste and you put it on the dough, and you just roll up and make little balls out of this dough and bean paste, and that's it. You cover them in starch, and they're good.
Then why did the thing you brought in? The thing that he brought in looked like a perch fillet. Why was it long and flat and looked horrible?
Good question.
Well, because it throughout the day people were taking parts off of it, and it's very, very stretchy.
Maddie, did you try it?
I did. I liked it a lot.
Oh, I'd love to try
it. It's something I'd never had before, so it was good.
And Pony, how would it rate to... Is there anything that we could compare it to in the candy family?
Ooh. It's got the consistency almost of like chewing gum.
Okay.
And... there's nothing like it. It's just sweet rice. It's really good.
Think of like a rice pudding kind of flavor.
Ooh, see, now that's good.
Yeah, but you don't want rice pudding to have that texture.
No,
yeah, but
different
if it's
texture.
A taffy, is it a taffy kind of texture?
It's not quite that hard. Taffy is...
Okay, taffy is a little harder, but it's chewy and then it dissolves in your mouth?
Yeah, more or less. It's just like eating rice. I mean, it's just basically rice.
Pony, more would mean it never dissolves and you choke to death on it. Less would mean that it does dissolve to nothing. When you put it in your mouth,
yes.
Is it goes away?
It does not. It does not.
You have to chew it.
Oh. You must chew it.
Oh, so Mike, no. In total disclosure,
stop,
I touched
stop,
the bag.
Stop. I'm trying to just get this. What I'm saying is it's totally edible.
It's absolutely totally edible. You do have to chew it. You can't just throw it in your mouth and swallow it.
I understand that. I was simply saying, does it dissolve when you chew it?
No.
Well, then where does it go? Do you understand what I'm trying to get at, Rob?
Yeah, you chew it up and you swallow it.
Do you know who I'm talking to here? I mean, I swear to God, just
from his description, and I did, perhaps unadvisedly, touch the bag when I was trying to figure out what it was. It felt gelatinous. So I feel that it would probably come apart in your mouth like a gelatin.
And you chew it and it goes away.
And it would eventually dissolve, of course.
Yeah, I don't want you to eat it like an osprey eating a fish. I'm just trying to, but it's still, and Maddie, you give it a thumbs up.
I do give it a thumbs up.
That's right. At some point in the next few weeks, could you maybe bring it into the studio so I could at least look at it?
Yeah,
and we could have a taste test of it?
Sure, I will do that.
Yeah, don't make the bean paste too sweet. You know how you are.
Oh, God.
You don't get it.
These are years that I add to my life, having these discussions with him. That'll be it. I got a week and a half. I was going to bring him on the show again. I'm not sure I can do that again. I can't survive it.
Boil the beans and then saute them in water.
Saute them in water. Very good. We're going to take a break, and we'll come back with news you may not need right here on the... Thank you, Pony. That was very interesting. I'd love to try your candy sometime.
Oh, thank you, Mike. I appreciate it.
All right, take care. We'll be back.
Bye.
Hey, listeners, I made it. I'm in the Assport. I love it here. It's just like I remember from before I got married. You know, there's a place here where the sun does not shine. And the restaurant, oh my God, these nuggets are so savory. And I owe it all to this passport that came in my TMOS bonus package. Oh, but if you come, remember to bring cash. You don't want to know what happens if you ask for an ATM.
Thank you very much. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. This portion of the program brought to you by Zappos. Okay. We coming to the end of these? Are we coming to the end
of
these?
If you want.
2020, the century is one-fifth over.
Yeah, great
time.
And
it's already on track to be one of the best years ever. Sure. Crime is at an all-time low. Sure. It's only because our president keeps pardoning everyone. But still, lots of room in the jailhouse lately. We as a country are one step closer to perfecting the jetpack. Get ready for your commute to be fun again. Screw off, toll booth lady. I'm out of here. Plus, the Summer Olympics hit Tokyo for the first time since 1964. Get ready for the heart-pounding excitement of the obstacle course, just like on the Battle of the Network Stars. We'll welcome back Cotter. Get the old gold again. Only time will tell. Just ask Merlin Olsen. 2020 also marks the 20th year that Zappos continues to offer 1,000 trusted brand names to help millions of customers create a long-lasting wardrobe they love. We just ask that you support us both by accessing Zappos through our website. Just click the banner. As always, 24/7 friendly customer service, a 365-day return policy. That's Zappos, people. Thank you, Zappos. You make us look good all year long. And remember, only 154 days until the Summer Olympics begin. So start the thawing of Gabe Kaplan.
Am I right, lady? Am I right?
News! Steven Spielberg has a daughter. I was not familiar with this. He has a daughter, Michaela, and she is getting into the entertainment industry.
Makes sense.
The adult entertainment industry. Michaela is making solo porn videos under the name Sugar Star, and also plans to do some stripping. She actually put some videos on Pornhub already, including one called Huge-Breasted Woman Does This in Calm Environment.
Okay. Oh.
But she took them down until she officially becomes a licensed stripper in Tennessee, where she lives. Now, Michaela is 23, and she was actually adopted as a baby by Steven and his wife, Kate Capshaw.
Okay.
She recently broke the news to them about her new career path, and she claims they were, quote, intrigued but not upset. This is just weird. Michaela says she won't be doing anything but solo videos out of respect for her boyfriend, who is, she's 23, he is a 47-year-old professional dart player.
Oh, well, by the time you're 47, you're really...
You're good at it.
What's her stripper name?
Her stripper name is Sugar Star.
She should go by Mochi.
Because that's sugary, too.
That is sweet and rubbery.
She would also like you to know that she's not doing this. Yes, make sure you get the bean sauteed. She would also like you to know she's not doing this because she's hit the skids. Quote, this is a positive, empowering choice. I realize there is no shame in having a fascination with this industry and wanting to do something that is safe, sane, consensual. So there's that.
Do you think strip clubs have dart boards?
You know what? I don't think I've ever been in a strip joint with a dartboard, but I've been in them that had plenty of food.
That's true. Yeah. That's very
later,
true.
There's a hair in my steak.
Oh.
Prince Harry and Meghan Markle will formally step down as senior royals on March 31st. After that, thank you. They'll no longer hold royal office at Buckingham Palace. Their rep says, quote, the Duke and Duchess will be spending their time in both the United Kingdom and North America. In general, the themes of their cause-related work will remain unchanged, which includes the Commonwealth, community, youth empowerment, and mental health collectively. By the way, when you're doing the aristocratic British accent, you're supposed to keep your lip tight above your teeth. There are still ongoing discussions on whether Harry and Meghan can use the word royal. They will retain their his, her, royal highness titles but won't actively use them. But they will continue to be known as the Duke and Duchess of Sussex.
I think it's great that even though she is leaving the royal family, she's only going to do solo videos.
Solo videos under the name Sugar Star. this is good news. NASCAR driver Ryan Newman left the hospital with his two daughters yesterday.
Amazing.
Not only that, but he walked out under his own power. Surprising, because less than 48 hours before, he was involved in a heart-pounding crash at Daytona at the 500 at the very end of the race. The footage is amazing because the car goes airborne. Just amazing.
Fire
to me.
Sparks, the whole thing.
How they protect these drivers now with these cockpits they're in. He did survive, and he walked out of the hospital less than 2 days later, which
so
is a great.
Great
thing. That car went airborne, and I think in the old days, that would have been a horrible, fiery wreck.
Yeah, and it probably could have taken out more than one driver at
that
point.
They have amazing fire suppression in these cars now, which killed a lot of drivers, so that's
How amazing is it that those drivers walk away from a wreck like that, and the football players are still getting concussions? Just
kinda
a thought.
Weird. Kind of weird. Yeah, well, the football players aren't in a little cage with bars around it. The ticketing company TickPick conducted a survey involving over 1,000 people, and they asked when people first heard their all-time favorite band. And the average answer was 13, or roughly 7th grade.
Yeah.
Coincidentally, the average age that people said they were first exposed to explicit music was 12 and a half, right about the same time. When asked what influenced their musical taste growing up, 66% said friends, 59% said radio, 52% said movies, 48% said their father, 45% said their mother, 44% said TV, 39% said concerts and festivals, and 33%, I'm in this category, said a sibling contributed.
I think
numero
that's
uno.
I think
Kathy.
That is really common for an older sibling to. I didn't have
all
that.
My musical influences.
So when did you first hear the Boston Pops?
The Beatles, Cat Stevens, Donovan, Elton John, the Beach Boys. All these came to me from my sister. I was ahead of the curve as far as music was concerned, and perhaps not as contemporary as my classmates, like Joey, who was the big Rod Stewart fan,
right?
Because my sister's music is what I was listening to, which is about, you know, we have a 7-year age difference. So
I got
that's
it.
What happened
I got that. It all from my mom, and you know, I have a relatively young mom. She was 20 when she had me, so or 21. Right. So that all that's I skew a little older too. My aunts and uncles were younger, and I got Stevie Wonder and the Beach Boys and stuff like that that trickled
down.
But
at 13, you right about that time, you got your favorite, right? Discotex and the Sexolette.
Love it. Yeah, there's no parking on the dance floor, Mike.
They're fantastic. A new survey asked people to name their favorite type of Girl Scout cookie. We do this story every year. Here are the big three. You'll know them. You'll love them. Thin Mints, 24%. Samoas, 16%. Tagalongs.
Peanut butter cookies.
Really, 10%. That means those three cookies got half the votes, while the other eight cookies split the rest. Trefoils. What the hell are those?
That's the shortbread cookie, the plain. They're very good.
Good cookie. Caramel chocolate chip. Is that new?
That sounds new, yeah. They always 6%. Try to do that.
Do-si-dos, which are peanut butter sandwiches, got 5%, and s'mores got
3%. 2% for Pony's bean paste cookie.
Bean paste cookie. Look, that candy sounds like something I would love to try.
I wish I'd taken a picture of the bag, though, because that was upsetting.
Yeah, it didn't look great.
It looked like mold. That was bean paste, not s'mores.
This year's new cookie, Lemon Ups, got 3%. Lemonades got 3%. Thanks a lot got 1%. And Toffee-tastic, which sounds good, that got 1%.
What is so thanks a lot?
Thanks a lot. I don't know.
It sounds like a horrible cookie. It sounds like
it's a sarcastic.
It's a sarcastic wafer. Thanks a lot.
And now a little something, something. An alligator was reported in the middle of a creek at Muskegon Community College, which is a Michigan community college, on Monday.
Hey, that's good.
You know, do the math. February, Michigan, okay?
Yeah.
Christina Broughton, she is the social media coordinator for the college, said she and faculty members received multiple reports Monday of an alligator in Four Mile Creek, which passes underneath the school. The near panic ended when the reported gator turned out to be a plastic alligator head someone had planted in the creek. The toy replica was fished out of the water by facilities staff on Tuesday morning. Officials at MCC, that's a Muskegon Community College, stated that this was the most focused the student body had been since the founding of the college in 1926. Thank you. Thank you very much. They all were pressed up against the windows, just like Christmas Story when Flick stuck to the pole.
Is that an alligator then?
Man, look at that. I don't care about my economics final. Look at that. There's a gator and it's 10 below zero out. Yeah. When did that gator get back there?
We'll take a break and come back with the Audio Vault and Rob Spiewak right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. Hello, this is Bob Barker. I used to host The Price is Right, and now I'm retired. And I also lost my wife, Dorothy Jo, years ago. So when there's shopping to do, Dorothy Jo can't go to the grocery store. So what do? I use the Mike O'Mara Show Shopping Center. And I get all the goods and services that I require, especially my pharmaceutical items. Yes, go to the TMOS Shopping Center, Macy's, Target, and Walmart. I get everything I need from that shopping center. That's how much it means to me. So please think of Dorothy Jo and use the TMOS Shopping Center. And what do we have for William? Thank you. Thank you, Bob. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by the Bonus Packages. We know... you want me to read it that way?
I do.
We know a remote farm in Lincolnshire where Mrs. Buckley lives. Every week, a bonus TMOS show is recorded there. In our studio, we record it every week. In our studio, in. That doesn't make any sense. There's no known way of saying an English sentence in which you begin a sentence with in and emphasize it. Get me a jury. That's idiotic, if you'll forgive me saying so. You're losing your heads, fellas. I'd like to know how you emphasize in our studio. Impossible, meaningless, unrewarding. The bonus show is an extra hour of TMOS goodness that we deliver every week, uncensored, with a crumb crisp coating. Crumb crisp coating. Fellas, you don't know what I'm up against. You see, this is a very wearying one. Unpleasant to read. Unrewarding. Extra TMOS for just pennies a day. We know a fjord where the TMOS bonus show goes, you'll never beef about beef? You can't emphasize beef. That's like his wanting me to emphasize in before studio. Come on, fellas. You're losing your heads. I wouldn't direct any living actor like this in Shakespeare. Just buy the bonus show, please. You're such pests. Now, what is it you want? Hmm? In the depths of your ignorance? Huh? Ah, that's it. Your friend. Just click the banner on our website and get access to all of our bonus content. You'll be helping TMOS. It's your passport to the Assport? You really want me to say that? Assport?
We've had five other reads, Royce, and yours by far the best.
This is a lot of you know that? I prefer the bonus show. If you find someone who doesn't like it, I'll go on you. No money. No money is worth it. I do twice as much work for any of you other people.
Charlie
just
Briggs.
Not work. Hit the sound effect.
Charlie Briggs chops beef.
Thank you. Boy, that's a deep dive right there. That's for real listeners of the show that will enjoy that tribute to Orson Welles, ladies and gentlemen. Take it away, Rob.
Do you ever look at the Goldbergs? I like this sitcom for a couple reasons.
No, I don't.
It's narrated by Patton Oswalt for one reason. I like that. Jeff Garlin is on it, the guy from Curb Your Enthusiasm. He's very funny. And also, it addresses the exact era that I grew up, early, mid-80s. And this was a funny episode last night, and it's funny for a reason. They started passing a rumor that someone was going to have a party, and the character's name is Dave Kim. He's an Asian character, and he's always called by both names, Dave Kim. And this, right. I can remember in high school and middle school, people gossiping like this.
The 80s was the golden age of the house party, and it turned out I had a hot tip about the latest one.
I thought you'd want to know about a rager at Dave Kim's this Saturday.
Let all your bros know.
Will do.
I'd fed the grapevine a grape. Only thing left to do was wait.
Party at Dave Kim's this Saturday.
Party at Dave Kim's this Saturday.
Party at Dave Kim's this Saturday.
Who's telling everybody I'm throwing a party?
They're the worst. And it's me.
You? Why?
Come on, Dave Kim. No one loves a kegger more than you.
And it's a keg party?
So it's Dave Kim, but here's the reason the Goldbergs is so great. Growing up, the creator of the show had a video camera and often closes the show with actual video from that time.
Oh, that's
and,
pretty cool.
And it's and also last night was a special one because he interviewed the real Dave Kim because it's based on his life. So here's the real Dave Kim talking about the episode.
So was there really a Dave Kim party?
Well, I had told one person that my mom was traveling to Korea, and he told the whole football team. Somehow the whole football team got invited to my party.
Anything else you want to say? Ruin any regrets?
What did your parents say when they got home?
To this day, I don't think they even know about it.
Your parents watch the show, don't they?
So there actually was a party.
That's funny.
Dave Kim.
Like
a couple
that.
Quick things. Disney acquired 20th Century Fox, so that means that Disney now owns the Planet of the Apes franchise. Mm-hmm. And do you know they're trotting it out again? They're going to do it. I know. I am so.
Really?
I never Honest liked it the first God, time. I didn't like please. It that much the first time. But anyway, really? It did give us this.
Oh, my God. I'm home. All the time. We finally really did it. You maniacs! You blew it up! Oh, damn you! Damn you all to hell!
You really can't tell from listening to it, but Charlton Heston is acting there.
There is nobody better as the overacting
Soylent Greenish people.
I give you these 10 commandments.
Is it Wayne's World where they bring Charlton Heston in for a new actor? We need a real actor here.
I think it might be Wayne's World or Wayne's World 2, but it's great. Well,
also, he chews scenery in Tombstone.
Oh my God, very briefly.
Mm-hmm. Very briefly, like right at the end of his career.
And with those teeth, he could really chew. Because it was like the third set. He kept replacing. God. Anyway, so Planet of the Apes, boo. Audio Vault, Dave Kim, yay. That's your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great Thursday, everybody.
Hold on, let me see if I got the thing working here. It didn't do that. There we go. There, that worked. That did too.
Thank you, Orson.
That's it. We got to get out of here. Pony, I know I give you a hard time, but it's only because I really wanted to know how to make that stuff, and now I'm strangely fascinated by it, and I hope you enjoy your candy.
I will, and you know what, Mike? I understand you're only trying to help me get better.
I always do. It's my number one goal each and every day.
Yeah.
We got to get out of here. We'll be back with a brand new show tomorrow. Oscar will maybe check in with us from the island of Maui, where he, I think, should be by now, right? He's on the way?
Well,
probably.
He's taking a train to Los Angeles.
Yes, all about the struggle. Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana, Matty Masiello, and Pony Boy Matt Bloom, Mike O'Mara saying, so long, everybody.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeOMaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
What the hell is this?
That's a Sicilian message. That means Luca Brasi sleeps with the fishes.
Oh, this is the worst looking hat I ever saw.
Oh, it looks good on you, though.
Ha, 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 Ernie, ha, ha!